Hello, this is Joy Wins, the wife of Dr. Peter Wins. On behalf of our family and the team at Christians for Messiah Ministries, I bring you warm Christmas greetings. I know that this CD will be a joyful blessing to you. To begin, our daughter and son-in-law, Jesse and Elizabeth Enns, will sing a song written by Elizabeth. The song is called Christmas is Here. Then Dr. Wins will bring a powerful word from the Lord. At the conclusion of the message, please continue to listen as Elizabeth and Jesse minister in song. Further greetings will be given by the newest member of our family. I now invite you to come. Sit by our fire, open your heart, and allow the precious Holy Spirit to minister to you. Get ready. Christmas is here. Followed by The God Baby from Dr. Wins.
Taking a trip down memory lane, snow angels and candy canes, tinsel and lights, the fire just right. It's Christmas Eve tonight. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King. This is the time for stories and rhymes that tell of the baby's birth. A miraculous sign from heaven you'll find, born for all the world. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King. Chance to join in the dance that celebrates our Lord. As love fills your heart and blessings abound, Merry Christmas now to all. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King.
I want to speak to you on the theme of Christmas. There's a movie out called The Godfather. You can talk about God in heaven being the real Godfather, but I want to talk to you about the God baby. And I'd like for you to open your Bible with me to the book of Luke, where we read part of the Christmas story. And in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 8 to verse 14. And this is the part of the Christmas story where the angels come and visit the shepherds. It says the shepherds are living out in the fields. And I don't know how many of you like wilderness camping. Some of you say your idea of wilderness camping is Holiday Inn. But these people weren't just visiting a campsite. That's where they lived. The Bible says that they were living out in the fields. And it's interesting that Jesus came to the poor of the poor. His announcement came to them first and foremost. So let's read the introduction to this story here. In Luke chapter 2, we start reading in verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby." Notice they were living in the fields. keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son. We thank you for sending the Prince of Heaven, the Lord Jesus, the bright and morning star, to this planet. And we thank you that this message and this Messiah has come for all the people. Today we open our hearts. We welcome the Spirit of Messiah. We welcome the anointing of the Holy Spirit here. And we ask now during this busy time and this season of celebration that the celebration of heaven might burst open in our hearts and that we might be moved by your power and your goodness. Give us revelation today of what is happening behind the scenes so that we might be people of faith and people of victory, so that we might be overcomers who partner with the King of Glory. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there should be lights at Christmas, and there should be tinsel, and there should be wrapping paper, and there should be presents, and there should be giving, and there should be music, and there should be trees decorated, and there should be people dancing in the streets. There should be a hustle and a bustle on busy sidewalks. There should be people awake at night with anticipation of something special happening. This is a time when we should be celebrating. Of all the times that we should be celebrating, this ought to be the greatest celebration in the whole world, and I believe it is, and there's good reason for it. You know, this season kind of gets hold of me. Twice already this month, I have not been able to sleep because Christmas carols have been playing in my head. And I'm not talking about nice spiritual ones, like Silent Night or O Little Town of Bethlehem or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm talking about it's starting to feel a lot like Christmas. And I'm lying in my bed saying, "Lord, I got to go to sleep now." And I've got these songs going over and over and over in my head. And just the other night, I was lying in bed and I wanted to get to sleep, but I couldn't get to sleep. And it was now 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm still feeling a lot like Christmas. And the songs are going off in my head, so I thought, well, you know, I might as well just study. If I'm going to be awake at any rate, I might as well get into the things of the Lord. So I can study without getting up. I can actually start to quote the scriptures in my head. And I started to prepare this sermon while I was lying in bed and the lights were off. And I began to read the scriptures in my mind and to quote them and to ask the Lord for revelation. And for about an hour, the anointing of the Lord started to move on me and the revelation started to come. And I said, I better write these things down so I don't wake up in the morning and they've gone and they're not with me anymore. So I woke up, well, I got out of bed, I wasn't sleeping, and I went into the living room. It's now 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got open my Bible, and I started to worship the Lord and have a wonderful time of prayer, and I prayed for many of you. And then after that, I got into this scripture, and I started to, get into the Word of God, and I really had a wonderful time until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I said, I better go to bed now. And I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and lied down, and all of a sudden, starting to feel a lot like Christmas. So I didn't get to sleep until 5 o'clock in the morning. This is just season. It gets a hold of me, I guess. Just this week, Pastor Matt and Pastor Jesse and I were having a ministry meeting at one of the local restaurants. And after we had finished having a meal together and talking about the work of the Lord and about the church and all, we got out to leave, and I noticed the dollar store was there, and I wanted to pick up some envelopes. And so I said to Jesse, why don't you just wait here? I'm going to run into the store and pick up some envelopes. So I went in there and bought some of these shipping envelopes that they have there. And I'm coming out and I'm putting my credit card back in my wallet. And I just look up and I realize that Jesse has pulled his car in front of the store, which was very thoughtful of him because he was a few aisles over in the parking lot before then. And so as I was fixing my wallet, I walked up to the car, opened the door, sat down, put my envelopes on the floor, closed the door, and said, well, I've got my envelopes. And then I looked up and it wasn't Jesse. It was somebody else. I was in somebody else's car and they were sitting there. And I said, hi, I'm in the wrong car. Excuse me, I'm very sorry. And he said, that's all right, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I said, it's okay. And I quickly got out of the car. Jesse was on the phone in the midst of a pastoral phone call, looking out the front window of his car, watching the whole thing like watching a movie. Well, it's just the hustle and bustle of the season, and I love every minute of it. You know, this season is about the birth of a baby. And of all the things in this world, in the natural, that should be celebrated, it ought to be the birth of babies. You know, I think that this idea of babies being born is a relatively new invention. In eternity, ancient times of eternity, no babies were born. In fact, everything that was created in the whole universe, God just spoke the word and it was created. He never had babies until he made the world. And when he made the world, he said, now there shall be babies. And so animals have babies. And even trees have little baby seeds and nuts. And flowers have seeds that are like babies that grow up. And of all of these babies, there's this human baby, which is made in the image and likeness of God. I think when God brought the news to the angels and the hosts of heaven and said, I've got a new idea, there will be babies, I think the heavens did backflips. I thought the angels thought, what is a baby? How do babies come? Where did this new idea come from? And then when they discovered what it was all about, they said, isn't God good? Isn't he great? My goodness, doesn't he do wonderful things? And then God shared something else with them. He said, you know this planet called Earth where there's babies? And we've already mentioned that there's a promise of a baby coming to Sarah, and there's a promise of a baby coming to Hannah. And there's a promise of baby coming to many other people all through history. Then he said, I have another idea. It wasn't a new idea for him, but at some point he had to share it with the angels. And he said, I am going to become a baby. I think the angels kind of took a gasp for a minute. They thought, hold on now. Because they've seen now this great thing of babies being born, and then the Lord of heaven and earth, the Prince of heaven, says, I am going to become a baby. Now this was altogether different. This was going to be the greatest example of humility, of self-humility in all of eternity. Where God, a very God, creator of heaven and earth, who by his words, the worlds were formed, and everything that is made has been made by him. And he said, I am going to become a baby. And I think it took a while for the angels to get around it, to kind of embrace the idea that God himself was going to become a baby. And this was such a humbling thing. Do you know that even if Jesus had come to a palace, if he had been born before the royal courts of earth with tapestry and great pomp and celebration and trumpets blaring and everybody in their best finery, it still would have been the most humbling event in all of eternity for God himself to become a baby, a human baby. But it was almost like the Lord said, you know what, this is an example of real humility, but let's go for broke on this thing. I'm not just going to come become a human baby. I'm going to become the poorest of the poorest babies. I want to be born in that little town of Bethlehem. Oh, you, Bethlehem, smallest among the towns of Israel, a Messiah shall come to you. He says, and I want to be born to a peasant family. And when I'm born, I don't want to be born in a palace or a hospital or some fancy place. In fact, I don't even want to be born in Holiday Inn. I want them not to have a house for me. I want to be born with the animals. And I want my first bed to be an animal's feeding trough, a manger. And the first people we're going to tell about this when the announcement is finally brought to the earth and I'm born will be the people who don't have a house. They're living out in the fields. I want to celebrate it with the shepherds because they need to know something, that no matter how self-humbling this is, for God, a very God, to become a man and to become a baby, and even if I become the humblest of babies, what I am bringing to the earth is good news for all people that cannot be reduced, that cannot be stopped, that cannot be hindered, that cannot be held back, that cannot be thwarted, that cannot be denied. I'm bringing my kingdom to the planet. And so when the shepherds are on the hillside watching over their sheep by night, an angel appears to them. And he says, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people, not just for some of them. For unto you is born, what a miracle, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall go and find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. And all of a sudden, the skies, heaven exploded. The angels just couldn't hold it back anymore. And they started to sing and celebrate. That's when the trumpets blew. And all of heaven split open as they celebrated the King of Glory coming to earth. And they said, what a mighty God we have. This idea is out of the box. This is something that's bigger than anything of all of creation, that God could be so self-humbling to become a humble baby and to come to these people. And all of the angels, they got it now. They started to sing. They started to celebrate. They started to rejoice. And the heaven, the skies lit up with celebration. And in their little proclamation, they said three words. I'm sure they must have said a lot of things, actually, and we don't have them all written down. But the shepherds remembered three words. That unto you in the city of David shall be born a Savior. That's one word. Who is Christ? That's the second word. The Lord. That is the third word. In those three words are wrapped up all of the profound purposes of God for the plans of eternity. A Savior who is Christ, the Lord. This word Savior, let's look at these three words one after the other, because that's who the God baby is. He's the Savior of the world. A Savior is somebody who saves us from death. He saves us from our sins, from hell's damnation, from the tyranny of Satan, from everything that is evil and horrible. Jesus is the Savior of the world. So I started to go through the scriptures, and I thought, who needs a Savior? And of course, it's sinners. Sinners need a Savior. Can I see the hands of all those people who know that you have been a sinner? That's good. I won't get into the theological debate on whether you still are one. Saved by grace is for sure. So here we find that the Lord is the Savior. And so I went through the scriptures and I thought, who in the Bible is a sinner? And you know what? I found a lot more sinners than saints in the Bible. I found a lot more sinners there than heroes. And I found that even the heroes were sinners. I started off with Adam and Eve, and I found out they were sinners. And then their son Cain was a sinner. And then the people on the face of the earth in Noah's time became so sinful that God had to destroy the planet with a flood. And then even Noah's children were sinners. And we come to the time of Abraham, and we find out that he's a sinner, his wife's a sinner, their children are sinners, his nephew Lot is a sinner, and Lot's daughters are sinners. And the Bible doesn't say this in general. It gives us the details of their sin. And we go on, starting to leaf through the book. And we find that Moses was a sinner. After all, he murdered somebody. That's a pretty big sin, as far as sins are concerned. And then the whole nation of Israel were sinners as they went through the wilderness. They were rebellious, disobedient. They even came to the place of offering their children as sacrifices to idols. People were sinners. Jacob was a sinner. His mother was a sinner. Esau was a sinner. If we go through the list, we find that the Bible is very careful to tell us about the sins of almost every single person who's mentioned in the book. Joshua was a sinner, and Achan was a sinner. The people of Daniel's day were sinners. Joseph's brothers were sinners. Pharaoh was a sinner. David's brothers were sinners. David's son Absalom was a sinner. His other son Solomon was a sinner. David himself was a big sinner, committing adultery and murder. We come into the New Testament, and we find that the Romans are sinners. and the Jews are sinners. And Thomas is a sinner, and Peter is a sinner, and James is a sinner, and John is a sinner. And Paul says, I am the worst of all sinners. And Ananias and Sapphira were sinners. And the churches that they birthed were full of sinful people. The church at Corinth. And if we read in the book of Revelation, we find that Ephesus is full of sin. And Thyatira and Pergamon and all of the churches of Asia are full of sinners. The world needs a Savior. Because you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. And the world has a Savior. For behold, today, in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He forgives. He takes away every sin. He removes every dark spot on every person's life. He's the Savior of the world. Today, people in every nation know him as Savior. They know him as the one who, the only one who might still love them, who might still have time for them. People in prison find him as Savior. People on their deathbeds find him as Savior, even though they've rejected him all of their lives. People involved in witchcraft in dark corners of the world have found him as Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. When these angels said, today is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds had no idea of how big of a Savior he really was. He's your Savior. The greatest gift that the Lord has given you is baby Jesus coming as the Savior of the world. But that's not where it stops. Because there's two other words that the shepherds shared. They said, he is Christ. Do you know what this word Christ means? It means the anointed one. We could extend it to say the anointed one from heaven. It is the Jewish word Messiah. He is the Christ. It's not just a nice title. Wrapped up in this word Christ is power. This word Christ is all about power. It's about the ability to perform miracles. That's Jesus the Christ. He's not just the one who forgives you. He's the one who can fix you. He's the one who can heal you. He is the one, the Messiah, the anointed one from heaven, who spoke the words and the worlds were formed. He's the one who took the dust of the earth and breathed into it and created a living soul. That's the power of Messiah. That's the power of the anointed one of heaven. That's the power of the living Christ. And today, he's not just your Savior. He's your Messiah. He's your Christ. He's your anointed one from heaven. As we are gathered here this morning, I know personally of a dozen friends who need a powerful miracle in their lives right now. There's people in hospital who, if things don't go right, they could lose their lives. There's marriages that are being turned upside down during this season. There's people who are unemployed and don't know where the next bit of money's coming. There's people with sickness in their body, with fears and traumas, with all kinds of troubles. And some of these things cannot be solved by all of the good intentions and hard work that we might muster up. We need a miracle. And the angels of the Lord made the announcement. They said, today is born for you in the city of David a Savior who is the anointed one of heaven. He's the Christ. He's the miracle worker. He's the one to whom there is no impossibilities. He's the healer of your body. He's the one who is your source. He's your provider. He's the one who releases angels to watch over your children. He's the one who stands with you for your future. He's the one who says, nothing is too difficult for me. He's the one who brings answers when there are no answers, hope when there is no hope, solutions to every situation. Before we go on to the last thing, I want to just stop right here for a minute. And I want to pray a prayer with you for a miracle right now. And then I want to talk to you about him being Lord. Because the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. But let's stop for a minute. Would you just believe God for a miracle right now? Heavenly Father, we come to you as the people of God. We are called by your name. And you said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. What an example of humility you've given us, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you. You said that if we would pray and seek your face, that you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. Lord, we receive the rejoicing good news of Christmas today. In the name of your holy Son, Jesus, who is Messiah and Lord, we release an anointing now for supernatural signs and wonders, for miracles, for healing. I break the power of sickness now in the powerful name of Jesus. I release finances where it has stopped up. I open doors now in the name of Jesus. I speak salvation to impossible situations. I release blessings over families. I release blessings over children. I release the purposes of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Messiah, to flow among the people of God in this day. I come into agreement with the angels of heaven, with the shepherds on the fields, with Mary and Joseph who see the babe in the manger. And we say, yes, Lord, let your anointing, let the anointing of Messiah flow among the people of God. And we receive the miracles now. And we lay hold of them in Jesus' name. Amen. So the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the anointed one, Christ the Lord. Now, it's no wonder to me that this world doesn't like the nativity scene in public places. Some of us might think that it's just a small deal. So why not just let the nativity scenes be seen on the front doors of churches? But they don't even like anything to do with Christmas. They don't want a Merry Christmas spoken. They don't want a Christmas tree that might symbolize the coming of Christ and his eternal blessings. They don't want any of that because it's a spiritual thing. Demons know and angels know that this coming of Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, is to be celebrated throughout the universe and here on earth. And lastly, the angel said, he is Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, he is Lord. I want to read to you a portion of scripture that we can find in Revelation chapter 19. And this talks to us about the coming of the Lord at the end of the great tribulation period, at the end of the age, and the heavens will split, and Jesus will come a second time to the planet. And this is what the Bible says in Revelation 19 and verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's this babe that's being announced to us by the angels as they spoke to the shepherds. He's not just one who forgives, and he's not just one who comes with power, but he's one who's come to make things right. He is the Lord of all the lords and the King of all kings. This is a prophetic word that the angels gave to the shepherds. It was another 30 years before any of them could know that Jesus was the Savior of the world experientially, before any of them could know that he had power to heal and he was the Messiah. He was just a little baby. How can a little baby be a Savior? How can a little baby be anointed with such power and miracles? How can a little baby be the Lord of all? But these were prophetic words that were spoken as this baby came into the world. And some of the prophetic words are not going to be absolutely completed in their entirety until the end of the age. But right now, you need to make him Lord of your life. He's the one who forgives you of your sins. And he's the one who can heal all your diseases. But he's also the one who's come to be your Lord, to be your King, to be the ruler and master of your life. And one day, he's taking it. The whole earth will come under his rulership. He'll rule the world with an iron scepter and bring it all into righteousness. Today, we celebrate him. Today, we thank God for the greatest season of all, where God humbled himself and became a human being and became a baby. But in this baby is everything that you will ever need or that you could ever desire. He is your Savior. He is your Christ. He is your Lord. I think right now, if we listen really carefully, we could hear the angels on the other side of the clouds singing and rejoicing, for the King of Glory has come. Now, Lord, I ask for a special move of your Holy Spirit on our lives during this season. For, Lord, we don't want to just be people who are groping around in darkness or struggles. We want to be the people of the living God. And you've given us your greatest gift. You've given us the Savior of the world, the Christ, the Lord of Glory. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, mighty, anointed one of heaven. We welcome you, Savior. Now, Lord, we ask for the wind of the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Wake us in the night. Draw us unto you. Help us to partner with you for your divine purposes. During this season, may we rejoice and be glad and give glory unto you. Lord, we refuse. We refuse darkness. We refuse the traumas. We take hold of the victories, of the miracles, and of your glory for our lives, for our children, for our families, for our community. We say yes to the blessings of the Lord. Let them come now. Waves and waves of blessings. Throughout this whole month, may we know the blessings and the power of God upon your people. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello, this is Katie. Since marrying Matthew, I have become the newest member of the Winds family. I invite you to keep listening to this CD as Jesse and Elizabeth sing for us. On behalf of the entire Winds family and our ministry team at CFM, it is my honor to extend to you God's richest blessings. May you and your family enjoy a special Christmas, and may you find God's abundant love and favor in the new year. Merry Christmas!
Taking a trip down memory lane, snow angels and candy canes. Tinsel and lights, the fire just right. It's Christmas Eve tonight. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King. This is the time for stories and rhymes that tell of the baby's birth. A miraculous sign from heaven you'll find, born for all the world. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King. Christmas is here, sing of good cheer, celebrate the year. The season has come of spirit and fun. Welcome Christmas Day. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King. Now is your chance to join in the dance that celebrates our Lord. As love fills your heart and blessings abound, Merry Christmas now to all. Families gather round, singing a joyful sound. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ is King.